Amen. Hey, again, we're going to Joshua chapter number one. Joshua chapter number one. I'm going to read just one verse to start, but I'm going to look at different verses in that chapter today that we're going to walk through together. And we're going to answer a question through it. And that question is my title today. And that is, what do I do when everything changes? What do I do when everything changes? Is going to be, we're going to look at there. So let me read that verse and then I want to pray with you. It says this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I pray that as we consider this passage and then what follows it, that through it, you would equip us as your sons and daughters to be able to live for you, not simply in this season, but in life. When anything changes, Lord God, that through it, we will be equipped to be able to trust in you and live for you. Give us tools through this, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And from at home, you could pray along with me right now. Just want to pray, Father, I ask you to equip me as your child to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, as I'm about to jump in, let me say this. I've loved that we've still been able to connect in this way. And I've loved that we've still been able to stream. And I appreciate so much the folks who make this happen each week. I mean, I appreciate so much Juliana and Omar and Raul who've been in here and others over these Sundays in our worship time. But you get to see them on the camera. But behind the scenes, just Hector and Melissa and Jose and Tyler and others who have been in here just making things happen by the scenes. I appreciate them so much that we've been able to connect through this. But let me say this as well as I jump in. These, as wonderful as they all are, boy, I really miss you guys being in this room with me. And I'm looking forward to the time when we're all back in here together in this room as well. It's going to come. It's going to come. But let me jump into this verse as well, this passage. This verse that I read to start with today, this verse in Joshua chapter number one, it's a verse that really could be read and would apply in any life-altering event or situation. This is a season of change for all of us, but we go through different changes in life. And for Joshua, this would be a season of change in his life. And God comes to him and he speaks to him in this passage and he gives him a word. He says, Joshua, everything's going to change in your life. Nothing's going to be how it was before. And then God gives him a word in response to that. And because the focus is not on what brought about the change with Joshua, but the focus will be on what God tells him to do, this is really a word that fits in any situation whenever we go through any kind of change in our lives. For Joshua, the change was, Moses, my servant, is dead. So Joshua has followed Moses. He's worked with him all this time. Moses is who has heard from God. He is who has led the children of Israel. And God comes to tell Joshua, Joshua, nothing's going to be how it was before. Everything's going to be different now. Moses is dead. And he tells him this, Moses is dead. But then he says this to him. He says, to get ready, to get ready. It is Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher, who said change is the only constant in life. That'd be true for all of us, really. And God came to Joshua to declare this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, get ready. And what he does then is he gives Joshua some things to do where he says, these are the things you're going to do to navigate this season of change in your life where things aren't going to be how they were before. And his counsel is good advice no matter what kind of change we would go through. So that said, without altering the scriptures, that means that we really could put anything we want at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, verse number 2. For Joshua, it was, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, get ready. But for us, our change is not that, but it could be anything. It could be this. It could be, you're fired. Now then, get ready. It could be, the divorce is final. Now then, get ready. It could be you've been furloughed from your job. Now then, get ready. It could be a positive thing. It could be now you're married. Now then, get ready. You have cancer. Now then, get ready. Your loved one has died. Now then, it doesn't matter what brings the change about. The words that are going to follow that we're going to look at, they fit every one of our lives when our lives change and things aren't how they used to be. So what comes first isn't really the focus of the first chapter of Joshua. It's the instructions that follow that we can all make application to in our lives. Your kids are now grown. Now then, get ready. She broke up with you. Now then, get ready. You were demoted. Now then, you fill in the blank. And it's going to happen in our lives where things bring about changes in our lives. And these will work because life is filled with life-altering changes that shift us from what we had grown accustomed to into what we could then call a new normal, even as we refer to in this season, where everything changes in our lives. And then the question comes up of how am I going to navigate this new season in my life? How am I going to go through this when things aren't how they should be? And the Bible gives us specific passages to speak to specific situations that we can apply. But the words that God speaks to Joshua here apply in every situation, no matter what they are. And this is important. It's important always, but it fits very well in our day that we're in right now. It fits with it also. So I want you to catch this. None of us can control everything about our lives. We can't. There are some things I can control, and there are other things that I simply can't control. I don't have any control over them, but they impact my life greatly. Some very major things will impact my life directly, and I have no control over them. I can't control the economy. I can't. I can handle my own finances, but I don't have any control over the economy of the nation at large. I'm not who will do that. I can't do that. I can't control things that could impact me financially in that way. I can social distance. I can wear a mask. I can comply with the CDC guidelines, but I can't control the spread of the coronavirus by myself. I can control my little circle, if you will, but I don't really have control of what happens in the nation or in the world along the way. I can't do that. I can't control the governor's decisions and how they'll impact my life and what I can and cannot do here living in the state of Maryland and you in whatever state you're in as well. And you can't control maybe that you're working from home. You can't control that you're homeschooling your children now. It's just what you have to do or have been furloughed or laid off. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we simply don't have any control over. And Joshua might have been fine in his own life with everything just staying the same way that it was, but it wasn't really up to him. Everything in Joshua's life was going to change, and he didn't have any control over that. He just had to roll with the change and respond to that. And that's the word that God brings to him. And it brings up this question of, when everything changes, and I don't have any control over the change sometimes, what can I do? I can't control all the world around me, but what can I do in that season? And that's what God gives Joshua here. And the first things that he gives him is this, and something that all of us can do is, I can remember that God is with me. I can do that. I have control over that. I can remember that God is with me. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. The first thing you do as a child of God when things change is you remember that you're never alone, because you never are. And it's not just someone who will be with you. That someone is God, the Lord of all creation. If you need help, he's ever present. If you need wisdom, he offers it liberally. If you feel weak, he is strong. When you don't know what to do, he is a guide. And God's first words to Joshua are what God's first words are virtually always to anyone when a situation is going to change. And that's the word, I will be with you. Even from at home right now, you could say it to yourself. God is with me. God is with me. Think about the scriptures. God comes to Moses. Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. You're going to go to Egypt and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses says to God, I don't think I can do that. I can't speak well. That's not me. Here's what God says to Moses. God doesn't say, oh, no, you speak better than you think you do. Nope. God never questions Moses. It's almost like God's like, yeah, you know what? You're really not that good at speaking. He doesn't even disagree with him. God, I'm not good at speaking. This is what God says to Moses. He says, I will be with you. God comes to Gideon, sends an angel to him who's hiding, and tells him, calls him mighty warrior. And Gideon says, but my tribe, my clan is the least of everyone. We're the smallest, the weakest family of everyone. And the response is this, I will be with you. You can look them up. One after another, it is said in the scriptures. Isaiah 41:10, I am with you. Deuteronomy 31:6, the Lord your God goes with you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The word throughout the scriptures to us is, I will be with you. The child of God never walks alone. My grandparents stayed married for 62 years. That's amazing. And I remember being with my grandmother not long after my grandfather had died, and I was visiting and sitting with her in her home. I asked her, I called her Nanny and Pop. I said, Nanny, how are you doing? Have you been doing through all of this? And of course, she said, you know, some days were better than other days after all of those years. But I wrote down something that she said to me then. She said this, and this is a quote from my grandmother after all those years. She says, I don't know what I would do if it wasn't for the Lord, but he gets me through and he gives me his peace. That's not something that my grandmother just read in a book or saw on a sign somewhere on a plaque. She was experiencing the presence of God in her life. Her life had changed. Nothing was how it was before. Things were all different now than they used to be, but she knew that her God was with her, and that gave her the peace of God. We do God a terrible injustice when we perceive him as off in the heavens somewhere. Our God is with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. So I can't control everything that happens in my life, but I can control this. I can remember that God is with me. Let me keep moving. We can do this one as well. I can be strong and courageous. You might say, can I? Yes, you can. I can be strong and courageous. God wouldn't tell us to do it if we couldn't do it. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's God's second word to Joshua. It's built off the first one. The thing is, if you don't know the first one, you'll never do the second one. You won't do the strong and courageous one if you don't know that God is with you. But when you know that God is with you, then you also can choose to be strong and courageous because of who is with you. When we grasp that, they go together. My wife and I, a number of years ago, had the opportunity to travel to Zambia. And we were there in Zambia. It was a missions trip. We had a tremendous experience there. But something happened that was unexpected when we were there. We were in a van with a few people from our team and a couple of people who are from Zambia, and we're riding down the road. And as we're riding down the road, we came upon what is like a road check. And there are people in military uniforms standing out there with rifles and machine guns and their army uniforms with the roadblocks set up. You know, when you're a foreigner in another country and you're riding through and all of a sudden there's guys with guns standing in the road in uniforms with the roadblock, that could be a little intimidating as you pull up, as you approach that. But I had the good fortune of that I was not alone. There was someone with me. I had a guide with me. I had someone who was from there. And as we drove up and we're approaching this frightening looking road check, our host from Zambia turns around to me and he says, they're just going to wash your hands. It's like, wash my hands? He's like, yeah, we all have to get out and get our hands washed. It was hand, foot, and mouth disease that was spreading at that time in their country, and they were trying to control the spread of it. So we pulled up to the road check, and we all had to get out of our van, and we had to walk over to the side of the road. And because we were moving from one part of the country to another part of the country, we all had to wash our hands. They actually sprayed something all over the tires of our van, and then we all piled back in and waved and said bye, and on we went, and everything was fine. But you know, if I had been alone approaching a road check in a foreign country with men standing there in their uniforms with all their automatic weapons and whatever else they had there, that could be very frightening. But because someone was with me who knew what was going on, then there was no fear. Now I know what's happening and it's all explained, and I trust my guide. And that's always the case in any situation in our lives. We went on a whale watch a number of years ago, and we were up off the coast of Maine. And the boat went about 20 miles out off the coast to look for whales, and we went far enough out that you can't see the land anymore. Well, if I had been out there alone, I don't know how I ever would have found land. I would have just rowed around in a boat in the ocean forever and wouldn't have even known where the land was. But I never felt afraid because the boat had a captain, and the captain knew where to go. When you know who is with you, you're strong and courageous. You're not afraid. You trust in the one who is with you. So when God comes to Joshua and he tells him this, to be strong and courageous, he tells him, don't be afraid, I am with you. So that's our second thing today. This is very practical. The first one is when my life changes and things aren't how they used to be, I remember that God is with me. The second one is knowing that I face whatever the change is as a strong and courageous individual, because I know I'm not alone. I have a guide with me. God is with me. He's going to direct me through this new season in my life. Here's the next thing I can do. It's what God gave Joshua to do. I can meditate on God's word, and I can do what's in it. I can do that. I don't have control of everything in my life, but I do have control over this one. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on it day and night. He's talking about the law that God had given them, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So much is beyond our control. Beyond yours, beyond mine. But here's something that is not: our spiritual growth. Thank God we're not on our own in it. God is building us up. But this is something that is largely always in my control, that I increase. We could say, oh, but Pastor, I can't go to church right now, and things aren't how they used to be, and I can't get together with other believers to discuss God's word and pray with them the way I once did. And that's all true, and that can make it more difficult. But the Bible is not quarantined. The scriptures are not locked down. The word of God is not suspended in any way. Nothing like that has happened in this season. Joshua was leading a people who were packing up and moving from the life that they had always known for the last 40 years. For 40 years, everything had been the same. They had been there in the wilderness. There was manna every morning. Their clothes hadn't worn out. Nothing had changed. And now he's going to begin this new position, this new season. All of them were. And he is their leader. And so much about it was beyond his control. He could have said, well, I just want to leave things the way they are. Let's just keep Moses around and not change anything. He doesn't have a choice about the change. That just has to happen. And he's going forward. And even in going forward, there's a lot that Joshua won't be able to control that he needs done. Joshua can't part the Jordan River, but he needs the river parted. He's going to have to trust God to do that. Joshua can't knock the walls of Jericho down. He needs them knocked down, but he's going to have to trust God to do that. Joshua can't make the sun stand still over Gibeon when he's in the battle. He needs it to happen, but he can't do it. He has to trust God for that. But here's what Joshua can do. He can open up his Bible each day and read it and meditate on the word of God and apply it in his life. God doesn't come to Joshua and say, Joshua, go knock the walls of Jericho down. God doesn't come to Joshua and say, Joshua, go stop the river. God doesn't come to Joshua and say, Joshua, make the sun. No, no, no. That's not what he tells him to do. He tells him to do this. Joshua, for Joshua, it's a scroll. I want you to open that scroll every day, and I want you to read it, and I want you to hide it in your heart, and I want you to live that out. That's what I want you to do, because Joshua has complete control over that. And so do you, and so do I. We still do. We can still open that app on our phone. We can still open a paper Bible. We can do whatever. And in a season of change, we can say, you know what? I'm going to keep growing spiritually. I'm going to keep growing in the word of God in my life. We can all do that. I can increase in my knowledge of him and in my relationship with him. And then here's the last thing that he gives him. He says this in that. He then tells him to do this, and we can do it as well. In a season of change, I can do what I can do. You say, what would that mean? Well, look at it for him, Joshua 1:11. He tells him this, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready, Joshua 1:11. That doesn't sound very spiritual. Get yourself ready doesn't sound very spiritual. God was going to do miracles, but you know what God wasn't going to do? He wasn't going to tie anybody's shoes. He wasn't going to do that. God was going to do miracles, but he wasn't going to fasten anybody's sandals. God wasn't going to cook anyone's breakfast. God wasn't going to strap anyone's sword to their side. God wasn't going to organize the march and who was going to be where, when, and decide what their role was going to be. The people had to get themselves ready. They had to do what they knew to do. They had to do that. I've joked along the way, or maybe not joked, mentioned along the way that we've gotten toilet paper to a lot of people in this season. And as a church, we've been able to do that, and that's been great. But then, of course, what would end up happening? I ran out. I ran out at my house. So we've given so much toilet paper away, I ran out. We couldn't find it anywhere. Can't find it anywhere. So you know what I did? I went home, and I knelt down, and I prayed, and I asked for toilet paper, and then I went and I looked at the little toilet paper holder in the bathroom to see if there was toilet paper there then. And I did it 7 times. I went back and forth and asked for toilet paper and came back and looked at the little toilet paper holder. And on the 7th time, I could see toilet paper the size of a man's hand. Now, obviously, that's not true. And if you don't know the Bible story, that won't even make any sense to you. There's a season where the servant of the prophet was told to go and pray for rain. And finally, he came back and he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Well, that was because he can't make rain. He can't make rain. I did not kneel down and pray for toilet paper and keep running in the bathroom looking at the toilet paper holder. That would seem ridiculous. I'm not saying we didn't pray for toilet paper, but I also knew I have to do what I can do, even as I'm trusting God in this. For me, that means going to the stores looking for it. I go to the Giant up the road from my house. I ask someone in there, do you ever get toilet paper? I never see any in here. They said, come back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and we might have some. So that was going to be my plan, to come back at 6 in the morning and just stand there in line and hope to get it. But as I was leaving, a woman who worked in the Giant came jogging up beside me and whispered to me like she was giving me some kind of secret message. I heard they have toilet paper at Harris Teeter. So I drove down to the Harris Teeter to see, but she was wrong. There was no toilet paper there either. And as I was walking out of the Harris Teeter, I looked up at the service desk, and there was this giant package of toilet paper there. Big package of Cottonelle. And I walked up to the desk and I asked the woman who worked there, is it safe for me to assume that that's spoken for? And she turned around and she said, no. She said, someone probably tried to buy 2 when we had it, so we took one from them. And I said, well, can I buy that one? Sure. And she gave it to me, and I was like a champion when I came home to my wife with a giant bundle of toilet paper. As funny as the story sounds, and I thank God for it, I had to do what I could do. I had to do what I know to do in that season. And that's the case with all of us in our lives as well as we walk through this. We all have to do what we can do in a season of change. Do what you can do. Do what you know to do. Joshua comes walking through the camp telling everybody, this is going to be amazing what God is going to do. It's going to be a miracle, but you have to pack up your own stuff, is what he tells them. God's not going to pack up their stuff. God's not going to walk for them. They still have to do those things. Later, after Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, they had crossed over the Jordan, they had marched around Jericho, and then they lost the battle at Ai. And when they lost the battle at Ai, Joshua was devastated. And he fell on his face on the ground before God, and he was crying and he was weeping before God. And God comes to Joshua and he gives him this deep, profound word that you want to know. This is this deep word that God gives him. God comes to Joshua laying on the ground, and he says this to them, get up. It's a great passage. He says, get up. Why are you laying there like that, is what God says to him. I can almost hear God with a sarcastic tone. Get up. Why are you lying on your face like that, is what God says. And he tells him, get up, go through the camp, find out what's wrong, get this fixed. God is telling, listen, God's saying, I'm doing miracles, but you got to keep doing what you know to do. You do what you know is right in this season. And that's the case with all of us in our lives as well. That's God's word to somebody listening to this. Life has really changed. It's different than what it was. We didn't see this coming, but the word is not go hide. The word is get up. I can't now, if I lost my job in this season or whatever, just sit around on a couch all day and binge on Netflix and do nothing and just say, well, let's just see what happens. I think God's word to us in a season like that is, hey, get up. Get up. Go do what you know to do. You know what to do in this situation. God's still going to do miracles, but the call is that we keep moving in that as well. That was his word to him in that season. But as we do it, we do it with his word all together. And just as a highlight each of these things, it is this. God says, I'm going to be with you. Because I'm going to be with you, you're going to be strong and courageous. You're going to meditate on the word of God each day. We're going to open it. We're going to apply that in our lives. And then we're going to get ready. We're going to do what we know to do. We'll trust God for the miracle side of things, but those are things that you and I can do, that we need to be doing in our lives. So, what's going to happen tomorrow, next week? When is the lockdown going to lift? When do you go back to work? When do the schools reopen? And not just in the quarantine, with any change in our lives. I can't tell you. Most of us can't. We don't have any control over those things. But every one of us can control these things. Highlighting them one last time, and I'm going to pray. Remember that God is with you. Remember that. knowing that, face the change in your life, being strong and courageous. You can do that. God is with you. Meditate on God's word. Take your Bible and open it up. Be faithful in it and apply it in your life. Do that, and then you do what you know to do. Make the call. Make things happen. Do what you can, trusting God all along the way. To Joshua it was, come on, pack up. I'm going to do the miracles, but you do your end of this. We do that as well. Every one of us can walk in that. Hey, I ask us this some weeks. I'm going to ask it again this week. I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're laying on your bed or sitting on a couch or wherever, I want you to stand up right now. That's what we would do if we were here. Sometimes when we set our feet in motion, it helps us to with our hearts as well. So there at home, stand up, get up. We're going to pray together. It's going to stir you a little bit as you do this. And we're going to commit ourselves to these things. We're going to commit ourselves to remembering that God is with us. We're going to commit ourselves to being strong and courageous in a season of change. We're going to commit ourselves to the Word of God. And we're going to say, you know what, God? I'm going to do what I can do, God. I'm going to do what I know to do. Hey, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to keep growing in you in this season. I thank you that you're with us. I thank you that everyone in the sound of my voice right now at home or wherever, whether they're listening to this live or later, you're with us. You're with us. We're not alone in this. You're with us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. And knowing that you're with us, we are going to face every day this week being strong and courageous. We're going to enter right into it, Lord God, boldly, knowing my God is with me. I have a guide with me. He'll direct me through this. Hallelujah. God, we commit ourselves to our spiritual growth in this season. We're not together like we would normally be. We're all separate. But we can still open your word. That's what you told Joshua to do. Say, hey, Joshua, you're going to move. Everything's going to change. You're going to be on the road. I want you to make sure you stay in the word every day. You told him that. I know that's a word to us as well, Lord God. We commit ourselves to it. And then, God, as you strengthen us, may we do all that we know to do in this season. We commit ourselves to good stewardship. We commit ourselves to walking in what we're able to do. The miracle side of things, we're going to trust you for that. But the packing, as Joshua told the people to do, we'll handle that, the practical things on our end, trusting that you're going to direct our paths. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Hey, church, family, I love you. We miss you. I want to encourage you to walk in this week, Keep encouraging one another. Call somebody. Text somebody. Reach out to someone. Let them know you miss them. Check on them. Check on your neighbors. Check on folks from church and make sure that folks are doing well. Surprise somebody by dropping something off to bless them. Don't get yourself in trouble, but do what you can do. God bless you, and we'll be live again on Wednesday night with a great night for the kids. It's going to be another fun night for them like we did a couple of Wednesdays back, and we'll email you a little more info about that. Amen. Have a great week.